flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Tip off every Warriors game throughout the season as we get you ready for the action. Presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff.
What makes Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water different? We always bottle our Alpine Spring Water less than 1.5 miles from the spring source, and all our bottles are made with 50% recycled plastic from our own recycling plants. Crystal Geyser, bottled at the spring source.
Xfinity here. How can we help?
Hi. My daughter invited her entire class to her birthday party. Can my Wi-Fi handle it?
Oh, well, at Xfinity, our latest gateways have tri-band Wi-Fi technology, letting you connect hundreds of devices at once.
No way. So if all the kids are watching stuff on their phones, well, their parents are sharing videos online.
Yep, go ahead and watch videos. They can all do their thing and party their way. No problem.
Oh, we are gonna need a bigger cake.
Now through March 4th, get fast, reliable Xfinity Gig Internet for $25 a month for 1 year with no annual contract and Wi-Fi equipment included when you add an unlimited mobile line. And ask how to get an eligible free 5G phone with trade-in. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Restrictions apply. Requires prepaid plan and auto-pay with stored bank account. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply. Xfinity Internet required. Reduce mobile speeds after use of monthly data included with your data option. Data thresholds and actual internet speeds vary.
Right now at Wendy's, get 2 of these fave items for just $7. The spicier classic chicken sandwich, Dave's single, or 10-piece nugs. It's an incredible deal, but an insanely difficult choice. Do you go double chicky sando, both spicy and classic, one beefy and one chicky? Or maybe you go all in on one and go nug max. 2 faves for just $7? Gotta be Wendy's.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time only, select a request 2 for $7 deal to redeem. Not valid in a combo or with saucy nugs. Single item at a regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Join Steiny and Guru on Thursday, February 6th at Bay Street Emeryville for the Dubs Watch Party from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. There will be great food plus prizes, including tickets to the Celebrity Pickleball Bash. For more info, visit the events page at 957thegame.com.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
In the time it takes you to actually board that flight from Group 8...
Now boarding Premier Altitude Elite Club members.
You could have bought a Hyundai on Amazon. Yes, that Amazon, where you buy everything else.
Mid-tier Altitude Elite, feel free to board now.
So while you're waiting for them to make up new boarding groups, you can order your dream car and the dealer will have it ready in no time.
Now boarding, groups 1 through 7.
So close. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability, pickup through participating Hyundai dealer and select markets.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
Crossover on KD. Beats him like a drum to the rim. Wow.
Save that on DVD, young man.
A little samba music there for Gee Santos. Here's Booker. Throws it out to KD. He takes a three topside and says, okay, young man.
He said, I'm one up on you.
Yep. Knocked it down. It's 20-18. KD with nine.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
That right there is A1 producing by Steven Rizzotto. Because I was about to say, there was a following play after Gee got him in which KD let him know, young fella, I'm a Hall of Famer.
You know, it's funny. Hearing Gee Santos with all of the 15 seconds of fame that was Quentin Post a week ago. And where is Quentin Post a week later? Well,
he's starting. He's starting for the Golden State Warriors.
But now he just gets in his rightful place in line behind Gee Santos, GP2, Lindy Waters, Dennis, all these just bunch of guys. Bunch of, you know, good at times, but he fits in with this year's 24-25 team. And that just another dude who had, you know, hit a couple of threes on a late January night against Chicago, and that's about it. And Gee Santos does some nice things. That's all they are. It's just, you know, these players are okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
He's perfect for this roster.
It's a chest of misfit toys right now, and Steph Curry.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know, man. It's really hard to,
you know, Steph's
to kinda judge this team.
You know, he's similar to, I'm really going to go down a rabbit hole, is Rick Barry. I was reading about Rick Barry randomly this week later.
Curry?
Well, similar in that he's a much better player, but Rick Barry was one of one at the time when the Warriors won a championship. It was Rick Barry and a bunch of players. Now, you know, Jamal Wilkes, was a rookie, was good, but everybody else, like Phil Smith, all these other players, C.J. Johnson. I was reading about all these guys. They came out of nowhere to win that title in 74 and 75. And they were very one-dimensional like that of this current sort of iteration of the Golden State Warriors, where it's Steph Curry, a shooter. And although Rick Barry obviously led them to a championship, but similar in that it was just Rick Barry and everybody else. Like everybody thinks of that Warrior team that won it in 74 as having like this star-laden cast. It was like, no, it was Rick Barry and a bunch of guys.
Well, and Al Addles kind of ran like 10 or 11 deep. I mean, they were they were more of a wider rotation at the
good
time.
Good knowledge. You know, I got it. Just so we opened this can of worms. This has got to
We've opened a few cans today.
This has got to be a 30 for 30. That year, right? You probably know this.
75?
74, 75, right?
Yeah.
They weren't expected to do anything.
No.
And so you know where they played at?
The Cow Palace, right?
No, well, they played at the Oakland Coliseum Arena, Oakland Alameda County Coliseum Arena, which eventually became Oracle. That was their home.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why they won it at Cow Palace is because the arena was running out for ice capades. Like, there was they thought that the Warriors were going to get to the NBA Finals. So there's, like, I don't know, Peggy Flemings and Snoopy skating around the ice, and the Warriors are in the NBA Finals celebrating a sweep of the then Washington Bullets at the Cow Palace. That is, and by the way,
the 75 version of Disney on Ice.
By the way, so the following year, as I'm reading about this, and I don't know if it's urban legend, we've talked to Rick Barry from time to time, friend of the show. And Rick, if you're listening, 888-957-9570. Love for you to call in and clarify. Because the following year, now they're good, and they have a good season the next year, and they're the defending NBA champions. They meet the Phoenix Suns, right, in the playoffs. It's a game 7. Within the first, I'd say, 30 seconds of the opening tap of this Game 7 against the Phoenix Suns to see who's going to advance and take on the Boston Celtics, there is a brawl that breaks out. And it's Rick Barry versus Ricky Sobers. I was just reading about this. And, I mean, both teams back then could leave the bench. You're not getting suspended or fined. And it's a melee, and it spills into the crowd. And then at halftime, Rick Barry is in the locker room, and somebody shows him the tape of the fight. And he recognizes that, and he was a temperamental player back in the day,
yes,
right? And a temperamental person.
Mm-hmm.
That there was only a few Warrior players that were defending Rick Barry. Meanwhile, Phoenix and Ricky Sobers, it was like a gang fight, like, you know, 15 against 2. And Rick Barry is so incensed by this that in the second half of a game 7 against the Phoenix Suns, he doesn't shoot the ball.
What?
It's almost as if he's saying, like, you don't want to have my back, go and win without me. And I think he thought that I'm so good, I'll just turn it on in the closing moments and we'll get past the Phoenix Suns. But the lead became so unsurmountable, they eventually got beaten that following season, and it was, and he got benched in the fourth quarter, where Rick Barry and Al Addle said, well, we're going to sit you down, and actually they made a run without Rick Barry. But it's interesting, and I don't, obviously we don't know if there's any truth to it, but apparently Rick Barry was so upset for his teammates not backing him that he refused to shoot for a half.
Well, that's like Kobe in 2006 had the, what was it, the playoff game against the Suns, where he refused to shoot because everyone was killing him. That season,
oh,
he averaged like 35.
That's right.
It was him and Shmush Parker and Shmush, a bunch of Scribinis out there, dragged him to a first-round series against the MVP-led Nash Suns, and he refused to shoot just to make a point. It's like, now, I don't know if you file that in the a-hole category or if you file that in the, well, the part of Kobe's legend category, but the fact that he's just like, you know what? You want to see how bad this team really is? You guys want to kill me for not shooting too much? Fine, I ain't gonna take a shot. And we can see if the rest of these guys are gonna go out there and beat the Suns. And it was just, you know,
I remember that.
It's just like, yeah, the best shot is gonna be me over three guys because the rest of these dudes cannot do a single thing.
A couple of years later, the Warriors are in the playoffs again. I think this is like 77. I was reading this. They, you know, the Malice in the Palace was what, 2003, 2004? Ev, go check out the video on YouTube of the Warriors in the playoffs. Detroit and Chicago were in the Western Conference back then.
Mm.
They're playing the Detroit Pistons in the first or second round of the playoffs. There's a fight between a guard by the name of Charles Dudley and a guard by the name of Eric Money of Detroit. And they get after it in fisticuffs. This was Malice in the Palace before Malice in the Palace in Oakland. In 77, this thing goes into the stands. ML Carr, who became eventually the head coach of the Boston Celtics and played with the Celtics, he gets leveled by a fan, just absolutely right to the jaw. There's Bob Lanier jumps into the stands to go after this guy. Big Bob Lanier. Shout out St. Bonaventure. Shout out Adrian Wojnarowski.
I found out he was a Warriors head coach yesterday.
Bob Lanier was?
Yeah.
In his size 22 shoes?
Yeah, for a time. Wow. He was one of like 14 in 30 years.
And they go in, and this thing is spilling into the stands. And then afterwards was beautiful. You need to watch this on YouTube. The referees are sorting things out, and somehow they got a camera, and they got the referees mic'd. And Rick Barry's in the huddle with the referees. So is Bob Lanier. And they're yelling at the refs and telling them what to do. At no point did the refs say, just go back to your bench. No, they're like consulting with the refs. And afterwards, Ev, guess how many players were suspended, fined, and or kicked out of the game? After, I'm telling you, both benches were in the stands fighting fans.
It's the 70s, so I would say zero.
None. I don't know if anybody shot a technical. Nobody left that game. Nobody got it. I don't even anybody got a T. And I want to say that the fan watched the damn game as well afterwards.
Well, that's why, like, you were able to kind of do all of these things, and they get lost. Like, the 70s is a lost era of basketball because what it was, right during the middle of the merger, you still had the end of the ABA and the NBA. Like, the product was not great. It was between dynastic eras, right? You had the 50s and the 60s with the Celtics, and then it moves into the 80s with, associated with, obviously, the Lakers and the Celtics and the Bad Boy Pistons. But the 70s kind of it gets lost because I don't know if there was a back-to-back champ that entire decade. It's kind of what we're dealing with now, where we're trying to figure out, all right, who's going to be the team in the 2020s? There has not been a back-to-back champ. since the Warriors last did it in 17-18. And it looks like there very may well could be another unique champion this year. It's like, but it doesn't mean that all these stories shouldn't be told, because that is unreal. Like, the amount of stuff that you used to be able to get away with, not just in basketball, but in sports in general, like, it honestly, it kind of makes me want to go back and just watch some of these games and watch the way that, I don't know, like, fans could interact with players, that players could just swing willy-nilly if they wanted to. And it was just a part of the game, but a part of the culture, I think, more than anything else.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of criticism about the game currently and the way it's played, and everybody's shooting threes. And
also, 5-1-0. It does sound like, from what I've read, Rick Barry was a bit of an ass. His teammates wouldn't pass him the ball. They disliked him that much.
Yeah. And I think that, you know who I enjoy playing that's sort of a throwback? Because the game is just so, every team looks like every other team. It's really sort of, you know, it's hurting viewership, and the ratings prove as much. SGA is really sort of like that mid-range game and his fluidity. And as good as he is, he's going to be the MVP, and he doesn't shoot threes. Which I think is...
not a lot of them, anyways.
Well, I mean, he shoots them.
I think he takes like five a game.
It's not the strength of his game.
No.
But he gets to the rim. I don't know, going back to the Iceman, George Gervin, there's been a player this fluid as far as getting to his spot and just getting into that pull-up or just crossing you over and getting to the rim. It's not violent, you know? It's just like, oh, God, there he is again, right at the rim.
No, he's the smoothest player I've seen in a long time. Like, that first quarter on Wednesday,
oh,
I know he ended up with 52. That first quarter where he outscored the Warriors 21-20, might have been the most impressive thing I've seen live. Like, one quarter with my own two eyes, I was in the building. Nobody could stop him. And it didn't matter who it was. Like, there was back-to-back possessions. I felt bad for Moses Moody. Like, so the Warriors defensively try and force you off the middle of the court, right? So Moody's on the wing. He's forcing SGA right baseline, where allegedly help is supposed to be coming. He goes right by him like it's a layup line and dunks it with two hands flush. And it's like he was at the rim in the snap of a finger. Next possession, he comes down. Pods is on him. He just looks at him like, that's food. And I think he ended up forcing a foul. He's a bit of a merchant, but I don't know how you're supposed to guard that guy, because he's a three-level scorer. Like, I think if he wanted to improve his three-point shot, he could. But when it's that easy for you to get to any spot on the floor at any time, like if it's him and you, he could tell you, all right, I'm gonna get to that elbow, and I'm going to pull up, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I legitimately believe there's nothing that anyone could do about it. If he wants to get to the rim, the only thing stopping him would be some sort of help defense or a center. But even then, he can kind of contort his body. The body control that he has, it's elite. Yeah. And I'm with you. I mean, he would be my MVP pick, just best player, best team. But watching him, I know some people don't like the free throw hunting that he kind of gets, but man, he's special, dude.
The Warriors need,
SGA.
Well, they need someone like that, and that's obviously much, much easier said than done. But this is where you earn your money. Because when SGA was with the Clippers, Bob Myers tells a story that Draymond and Steph went back to him and said, that's a player. Even though he wasn't getting run, he clearly wasn't SGA back then with the Clippers. But Draymond was like, that dude, keep an eye on that guy. Like, they knew.
And he was starting against them in a first-round series when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
I think I don't know if he hit a game winner, but he was, like, he hit big shots in the fourth quarter of a playoff series when he was 19 years old.
But my point is that you need to find somebody that's at that level, that's still on the cheap, that's not easy to do, but I think that's what you got to get lucky on. And to your point, when you went to the break and were teasing risk, there's high level of risk in all of this. That's the price you pay when...
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months... Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're an old dynasty that's, you know, in the sun setting, and you need to get better, and you need to get younger. Risk means that there's a chance that you can hit on a young player or a draft pick or find someone like that of a Jalen Brunson or find someone like that of an SGA when they're still young and undiscovered. But there's also the risk that you miss. But that's, you have to step to the plate one way or the other. I think, do we both agree that you got to take a swing?
You do. And I think that they've gotten to that point, more importantly. The Warriors have gotten to the point where after a couple of years past the championship, they have to do something differently. Like, they can't keep going on the way that they've approached things. And so I think internally they're wrestling with, do we need to reevaluate ourselves? Like, do we need to recalibrate? What do we want Golden State Warriors basketball to be? Because to your point earlier, right at the top, and it's an astute point, it's like, I don't know who they are. You used to always know who the Warriors were. Even when they weren't very good, you still had an idea of what they were trying to accomplish. And I think it is because they were a lot younger and they feel a little stale. But right now, I think this week is a perfect encapsulation of who they are. It's that they're a team that could go beat OKC and survive a 50 ball and then come crittering back down to earth and lose by 25.
I think who they are is a lottery team. I always tell you this. And that's not the worst thing that can happen to this team. And that doesn't mean you tank.
Well, they're not a, but they're not a bottom lottery team.
Not a bottom lottery team.
Although, to be fair, like, the Hawks got the number one overall pick last year. I think they were the 10 seed.
Yeah, New Orleans, when they got Zion, were a 9 or a 10 seed.
Yeah. So, no, I do think if there's not a trade
out there. They're a playing team right now. If the season were to end today, they're 11.
No, the Warriors, yeah. No, they're in the lottery.
Right, I mean, now. No, they're in the lottery. Yeah. They're not in the play-in.
But I do think that if you can't upgrade this roster, you know, if you can't get the talent that we're talking about, right? Jimmy Butler, LaVine, whoever you like. You do have to keep your lottery ticket on the off chance that Cooper Flagg is there. Like, you have to keep your lottery ticket. If you trade that first-round pick this year, it's got to be protected. And I think it has to move you outside of the top 15. Because if not, I don't know what you're necessarily trying to accomplish.
Exactly.
At least that's the way that I read. Let's get out to Matt in San Francisco, wants to comment on the state of the league. Matt, what's going on? Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to push back a little bit on the kind of the decline of the NBA. I think the NBA, like they used to say in the late 80s, early 90s, that advertising promo, it's still fantastic. It's a great league. It's very entertaining. The Warriors are an entertaining team. I know they're up and down, but they're very entertaining. I think the product is still good. What isn't really working is the whole gimmick about the in-league, in-season tournament. I don't know if that's really working. I think it's better maybe if we expand to 32 teams. Maybe you can start a tournament at the beginning of the year where the winner, there's some incentive to play that and win that tournament. Maybe they get, the worst they can do is get a late lottery pick or something like that, or maybe they get an 8th seed or a seeding or something like that. But other than that, they've made some good moves. I mean, I actually think the play-in tournament is really good. It's actually keeping teams competitive for longer. So I just want to share that and just kind of push back a little bit against the NBA and being in a state of decline.
Yeah, I mean, well,
I'm assuming it's still raining outside.
It's going to rain all weekend. It's supposed to rain until Thursday.
Windshield wipers were working hard, my man.
Yeah. No, thanks for calling in, Matt. Stay safe out there on these roads. They can be treacherous. The NBA, I don't think, is in a bad place, but it definitely is not in as good of a place as it was as late as 10 years ago, early as 10 years ago.
Well, the issue is that
I think it's becoming more of a regional sport.
When I was talking about the 70s, or if you just go back and look at basketball back in the 80s or the 90s or early 2000s, the talent is so much better now.
100%.
It's amazing. And they never used to play defense in the NBA. They play defense now. Defense is a thing. It's just the offense is so much better. Defense now, it used to be back in the day, you could just wait for players to come to you. Like you were guarding the post. Like, you never would go out and guard a guy who's 20 feet from the hoop. No. Now a guy, if Dame Lillard crosses the timeline or Steph Curry, you got to get out on him. And there's the majority of the players are like that because you're basically in their range. The defense is so much better, and the players are so much better. Their handle, the crossover, Euro steps, and the shooting. But I think they're a victim of that sort of the growth of that talent is because they can all shoot threes now. And they can all shoot it from such long range that the game has almost become boring. And they need to tweak or reinvent something that involves the three-point line. But the product is a victim of the fact that exponentially they are so much better as far as the talent is concerned, that these players are so good that they all begin to, as a team, collectively resemble one another. And so from a consumer standpoint, you know, you have to do something because it is entertainment at the end of the day. But don't get it wrong. I mean, the players today are so much better equipped to play the game than ever before.
Well, it's a copycat league. I think every player is doing what is going to get you paid. And I think that's why the league is a bit watered down. There's less of an incentive to win than ever before because you can get paid being a good player on a bad team. I think Bradley Beal is like a perfect example of this. He came into the league. I think he was like a top five pick out of Florida. Washington wasn't a great franchise. Helped them early with John Wall, get to a couple playoff series. Then he got his bag. Averaged 30 in back-to-back seasons, which is not easy to do. But he now makes a max. He has a no-trade clause.
How did he get that?
Because he was a good player on a bad team that got paid, that had no other option. Like, that's how, because he had leverage. But there's never been an incentive for Bradley Beal to win, because he's going to make his $50 million at the end of the day, go home a happy man, and not have to worry about competing at a high level to go get a bigger bag. So from that standpoint, it's like there's all these max players. I don't know how many of them want to win. To bring it back to Jimmy Butler, that's at least one player that I know that wants to win. I know that there are, you know, like KD wants to win. LeBron, obviously, wants to win. There's some guys that I don't know how badly they want to actually win. I think they want to have their cake and eat it, too. Like, I think De'Aaron Fox, quote-unquote, for example, wants to win, but he wants to win on his terms. Like, I think that's why Houston and San Antonio are his preferred destinations, and I think he's going to get moved at the deadline to one of the two. It's because, well, he wants his money, but he also doesn't want to be, I don't think he wants the pressure of being the face of a franchise, which he wouldn't have to be in San Antonio because that's already built in.
Yeah, I think that winning is what motivates a lot of these guys, but the money, it's true for all the sports, like in Major League Baseball, right? And those things are guaranteed. But I think that when it comes to LeBron and Steph to a certain degree, and I always talk about this, yeah, winning is important, but it's not as important as it once was.
Yeah.
I think that LeBron James, I mean, he moved mountains to get his son with the Los Angeles Lakers. That's what's important to him now.
Yeah.
He used to be back in the day. Remember him when he was constructing teams? I talked about Miami. Remember that? Or he's with Cleveland. He wanted to go back to Cleveland or out of Cleveland. That's why he got out of bed in the morning. He was a GM as well as a player who could do everything. Now it's like, I want to play with my kid. And I still want to win. And I think Steph is like that to a certain degree. Steph, don't get it wrong. Of course, as he said, if you think that I don't want to win, you know, you're crazy, paraphrasing here. But it's not as important as you get a little bit older. It becomes about kids. It becomes about quality of life. It becomes about where it is that you live. LeBron is not leaving Brentwood. All right, he has too much invested, not only in basketball and in SoCal, but in terms of the studios and Hollywood and all those things that he does. And the same to a certain degree with Steph. Neither one is leaving. You don't have to worry, fans, of him saying, I want to get up and out of here. I know that, you know, that'll surface from time to time. Steph is going to hold the Warriors hostage. I don't think he's leaving at the end of the day, because while winning is important, as you get older and you can see the end, I think there are other things that take priority.
I think that's true. We can continue the conversation on this side, but we got to hit a break here. I see you, Jimmy and Bayview. Please hang in through the break. I'll get your call right out after the break. There's also a... I gotta apologize.
By the way, why was Bronny, speaking of LeBron James' kid, I saw a game the other night against Philadelphia, and he was playing in the first quarter. He's still with the team?
Yeah, he's on the roster. Or two-way. Yeah.
But
by the way...
I know he's a two-way, but that...
They stunk that night.
Yeah,
I think AD got hurt.
Why is he getting run?
Well, because they had no other option. It's like the Warriors. Why is Quentin Post starting? Because no one else can get the job done. Apparently, J.J. Redick didn't like the energy from his team, so he threw in Bronny to try and rile up the troops.
That's silly.
And they lost by 30. He went 0 for 5 in 15 minutes. All right, on the other side, we're going to continue our conversation about the NBA, get back into the trade market, try and figure out what the Warriors are trying to do. What the hell are they trying to do? 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe, Warriors this week.
Hey, it's your boy Guru. Come hang with me and Steiny at Bay Street Emeryville on Thursday, February 6th for the Dubs Game Watch Party from 6 to 8 p.m. We're talking great food, prizes, and the best basketball vibes.
So come see us on February 6th, but don't miss the first annual Emeryville Film Festival, plus film celebrating Black History Month.
Check out all these live events, plus live music at BayStreetEmeryville.com/events. BayStreetEmeryville.com/events.
Are you curious about who offers the best deals on top-rated Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs? The answer is surprising. It's not online, and it's not the warehouse clubs. The best deals on top-rated TVs are at Video Only. Don't believe it? Then check out the trade-in deals at Video Only. How about $500 for your old TV? Try doing that online. Before you buy that new TV, drop into Video Only. If you don't, you'll be sorry.
Jewelry Graham, it's your friends at Shane Company here to remind you that Valentine's Day is Friday, February 14th. It's the most romantic day of the year to give and get fine jewelry. We have expertly crafted gifts for every type of sweetheart. For the one, we'll help you propose with the dream engagement ring. Come see our wide selection of hand-picked natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes, in stock and ready to compare side by side right here in our store. Or maybe you'll fall in love with the natural, colorful gemstone. At Shane Company, we're known for our sapphires in every color of the rainbow. We have options for every style and budget. Get creative and design a custom necklace with meaningful charms, including 14-karat gold letters, engravable hearts, and birthstones. Our mother-of-pearl heart-shaped collection makes a perfect gift that's ready to give. At Shane Company, love is always in the air with our unmatched free lifetime warranty, everyday competitive prices, and no-pressure shopping experience. Come see us in-store and at ShaneCo.com. Chain Company, your friend and jeweler.
Meanwhile, at Xfinity.
Hey, Steve, why are you on the roof?
Product research. We engineered the Xfinity mobile network to have super fast Wi-Fi on the go, plus reliable 5G. I wanted to test it out up here.
And how's that going?
Well, I've been streaming movies on my phone for the last 3 hours, so pretty...
Car number 30, who was rocked by a blindside punch by a fan, is okay. Now, Bob Lanier is furious, talking to the referee. They are upset. They feel that Golden State should be penalized for starting the fight. And apparently, no one has been ejected from the game. Lanier goes in after the fan, and now jumping over to go in also, and try and find out what's going on. That was Chris Ford. The fan is being held back. Lanier is trying to punch the fan, and now Smith comes over and tries to grab one of the Detroit Pistons.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Oh,
it was a different time, man. It was a different time.
And apparently, no one has been ejected from the game. Probably my favorite line.
And meanwhile, guys are in the stands.
Dude, like...
Unreal.
I don't know if we need fighting back in sports, especially not between fans and players. But sometimes, like, for example, you compare that, well, what you just heard there, with, like, you see Wembanyama this week playing the fake tough guy? I guess he got kind of, like, hip-checked by Zubats in transition or something. He got hip-checked, goes down to the ground, and he gets up, like, you know, just looking rabid, like he's going to tear his head off, and he starts sprinting. But he's running at someone to kind of look to hold him back a little bit. Like, come on, Vic. I mean, number one, you're French. Number two, you're not gonna go try and attack Zubats. Just calm down. But back in the day, it's like,
that was a 4-minute video, and I had to cut down to like obviously 30 seconds. And the best part about it was when they showed the replay, the announcer decided to do another play-by-play of the replay as if it were happening in real time. So it's pretty incredible.
Well, it just reminds me. Oh my God, what was this? Oh, that's right. Okay, so I used to do local radio, like in Fargo, North Dakota, right? So I was working, this was 2018, 2019, some.
Good movie, Fargo.
It is a good movie. About a fictional place, Fargo, Minnesota. Technically doesn't exist. That side of the border is Moorhead.
Oh.
But I worked a hockey morning show on Saturdays, actually. Like, I would do an hour hockey show with these old North Dakota. UND, by the way, is like a history program.
The Fighting Sioux.
Yeah. I think they're the Fighting Hawks now. They had to change their name. Okay. But yeah, no, people still call them the Sioux. And they had all these former Olympians, right? Christian. I think he might have been one of the forwards on the Miracle team.
Yeah.
Anyways, so UND was involved in, like, the fight that changed hockey in 1982. And I only know this because I worked with one of the guys who knew a head coach for, like, one of the G League, minor league hockey teams up there, who started the fight. And it was against Wisconsin. God, I forget the name of the guy who started the fight. But it was a long rivalry. They'd, you know, played each other in NCAA championships and the Frozen Four and all the rest. And this guy, damn it, he's the head coach of the team, and I met him multiple times. And he's actually ashamed that he did this, because I talked to him about it, and I was like, that's so cool. Literally, during, I think it was the third period, he just goes over to the bench and he spits on all the players.
Oh!
He just spits on the Wisconsin bench. And he knew exactly what he was doing.
Wow, dude!
Because he wanted to fight. And everyone just spills out from the Wisconsin bench. And I don't know, the call of it is legendary, too. And I think he might have been... I don't know if he got ejected, but they had to stop the game. That was the only reason that people weren't ejected or thrown out, because there was too many 5-minute majors to hand out. So they just stopped the game. And it is still one of the biggest brawls, 1982 Wisconsin UND Fighting Sioux, that I've ever seen.
That's wild. Well, hockey, obviously, it's part of the sport.
But those moments, right, from the 70s and the Warriors you were describing, the 80s in hockey, it's like, that's the reason why Victor Wembanyama has grown up in an age where he knows he's not really going to go fight Zubats, because you can't do that anymore.
Not only can you not do it, but do you really want to do that if you're Victor Wembanyama, and as much as you have to risk as far as injuries, I mean, serious injuries, facial damage, that's like the last thing you need to do.
Well,
I mean, today's players make so much money that their outlook in terms of fighting fans and players is very, very, very different.
That's what I was about to get to. It's like, I'm not even talking about like a Rudy Tomjanovich, but it's like, yeah, that was brutal. But the thing about it is, just like I think there's less incentive to win, there's more incentive not to fight. You make too much money. The fines are too hefty. You're going to cost yourself game checks. Back in the day, it's like, yeah, I could probably pay that. Like, that's fine.
And I think the Miami Heat and New York Knicks in that NBA Finals changed all of that in their big brouhaha as far as players coming off the bench, because that changed the outlook of that entire series. And well, that was the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And you can't now, obviously, you cannot come off. And it's so difficult as a player back in the day. It's instinctive, right? If there's a fight on the other side of the court, you run off the bench – And it's just like a baseball fight. Like, guys empty out of the bullpen, which is the silliest thing in the world. Is anybody throwing a punch coming out of the bullpen? No.
Out of the bullpen, no. I think John Rocker's out of the league, so he's probably not going to be throwing any punches. But, yeah, it's the fall. I mean, the biggest fight recently in baseball is probably like the Tim Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Who is the third baseman?
What about basketball?
Jose Ramirez?
Basketball, you just don't see it.
No, why would you? They're all, like, I don't blame them for being fake tough guys. Again, if I'm making $30 million, what do I need to fight for?
Yeah.
I'm doing all right. Anyways, Jimmy Bayview, get us back on track, wants to talk about the Warriors and their draft pick. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. I think this is you bringing up SGA is a perfect discussion for the point at where the Warriors are at right now. I want to say SGA was drafted like 10th or 11th because the Clippers that year, they had two draft picks in a row. And the other one was the guy that the Warriors had from Boston College. He was a total bust. But let's say there's an SGA in there right now at 10 or 11. Why are we going to improve our draft? We're 20th right now, power rank. So we'd be drafting, let's say, 10th at the worst. Why would we improve our record right now to get some old-ass dudes that are just temporary rentals? And by the way, we've been at this point the last 2 years and done this. Why are we going to keep doing the same thing? And it's like, let's say you need 300 losses before you're going to get good. Why not just mathematically take some losses now? Get under this second apron, which you need to be for the twice in the next 5 years to avoid the repeater tax. Why wouldn't we just take some losses now? Get rid of Hield, get rid of Payton, let these young guys play, and let's, like, do something different. Let's get a good draft pick, not a 20th draft pick. Let's get maybe the 7th draft pick. So there's 4 good guys to pick from. What do you guys think?
Like it.
Yeah, but I appreciate the strategy. I think that's a choice. Like, you have to choose what you're going to do, and that's where I think the deadline is an opportunity for the Warriors to make that choice. The thing about it, though, is, like, everyone does give the OKC Sam Presti gives OKC, like, a deserved amount of credit for how they've quickly been able to rebuild, right? They flipped, basically, in 3 successive years, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and Chris Paul for a haul of picks. But the key to it all was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, without him, with all due respect, I mean, they would have had Chet, they would have had Jalen Williams, they drafted Isaiah Joe, Cason Wallace is a good player, but SGA is the one, like, he's the MVP. That was not someone they drafted. So it's like, you can get as many picks as you want, but the key is the player that came at the forefront of the deal. And I don't really know if there's a player out there like that. Like, for example, there are some teams that are trying to duck the luxury tax. The Clippers just did it earlier today when they traded P.J. Tucker to Utah and got back, I think, Drew Eubanks, and they sent out a second-round pick. The Pacers are a team that hasn't paid the luxury tax since 2005. The Pelicans, I don't think, have ever paid a luxury tax. The Cavaliers are a team that could look to duck the luxury tax because they're going to have to eventually have these big contracts, Mobley, Allen, Mitchell, Garland. They got to pay a lot of gas. So could you try and take advantage of that? Like, I think the Pacers are a team that I would love to go get an Andrew Nembhard. You know, he's a young 20s, good guard, 6'4", good player. But, like, what is going to make the Pacers want to give that up? Like, I was going through the list of 25 and unders that kind of fit the bill of, like, the SGA trade. There's no one that's really out there that I think is willing to move off of one of those dudes, you know? And
I got one for you.
Who?
Zion.
But he's not SGA.
Well, neither is Nembhard. I think Nembhard's a good player.
No, I don't think he is either.
But he is somebody that, again, it's a huge risk. And before people go nuts, I get it. It's Zion at the end of the day. Guy has been hurt throughout his entire life. But as we had talked about, there's a higher level of risk now because you put yourself in the position that you're in, Let's forget about how we got here and missing out on LaMelo Ball or getting back to draft picks that went awry or bad decision makings on the part of GMs or just the fact that you're too old. You are where you are, and you have to take a risk. And none bigger than Zion Williamson. He's the one guy out there that is a potential star in this league, a difference maker that you could get on the cheap. And I don't even know that New Orleans would, you know, they may ask more than you're willing to give up, but that's somebody. And now he's not flying under the radar like that of a Jalen Brunson or an SGA, but there's an upside to that guy that you might be at the point where, you know, you have to gamble so much and you might be willing to take that risk.
Well, again,
and he's 24.
But again, the key word there is risk. I think no matter what they do at this deadline, it's going to be full of risk because that they're in a position where there is no clear move that is going to get them to where they want to go. And do the Warriors make a move that is going to be, you know, a high risk or a low risk move? I think, again, one thing that they have to. I think I know two things about the deadline. I said this yesterday, but I don't think that they're going to trade Jonathan Kuminga because they're prioritizing talent. Like, they've told us that that's what they're trying to prioritize.
But I'm going to cut you off, but if you're not going to re-sign him, then you sure as hell better trade him.
I think they are going to re-sign him. At this point, I don't know how you can let him walk. And I don't think his price tag is going to be that astronomic that you can't match.
But doesn't it keep going up?
I don't think it does. I don't.
Because he's getting more and more leverage, even though he's hurt. Because the Warriors are that bad.
Well, is Draymond getting leverage? I mean, they haven't had him losing games.
I think his better years are clearly in the rearview mirror.
Well, but remember last year we talked about, Klay's making himself some money. Now, that is a different situation, I guess. But, you know, Klay's making himself money coming off the bench. He's played better. He's shooting better. He's more efficient. You know, he's taken a smaller role. Turned out he signed. Should have taken that two for, 40-something off for a couple of years ago if he wanted to stay a Warrior. You know, I think Kuminga is, I don't know if he's made himself, I don't know if he's lost himself money, but I don't think he's necessarily made himself more money. To me, that's going to be determined by when he comes back, how much he can really help them, which I think he can, you know, but they just had an 8-8 January.
I think Klay Thompson's a perfect example of why you got to do it sooner rather than later. Like, Klay Thompson should have been dealt before he became an unrestricted free agent. I mean, CP3 should have been dealt before he walked out the door. And so, these expiring contracts, don't hold on to these, the GP2s and Dennis Schroeders. And even, I know we love Kevon Looney, but, I mean, these are drastic times for the Golden State Warriors. And move them while you can still get something in return. Wouldn't you love to see CP3, instead of just simply walking to San Antonio, going to Chicago and you get LaVine back? Now, maybe LaVine isn't the answer, but straight up for CP3, which they were willing to do a year ago, makes a lot more sense than just losing Chris Paul.
Well, that's why I mentioned
I think all of these expiring contracts should be out the door, quite frankly. That's the beginning. If we're going in a direction, that might be the first step.
Unless you think that one of those players could help you in the future. Like, I think there's a place for Looney. I don't think there's a place for Gary Payton II beyond this season. I don't think that there is a place for a couple of those smaller salary guys beyond this season. And that's, again, like, you can't continue to operate the way that you have. That we know. Because it will get you maybe to the play-in tournament in a good season, but it's not going to get you any sort of legitimate success. And that's what they're trying to find in the last couple of years of Steph Curry's career, if at all even possible. I just feel like they have to try and use these expirings because that's all they have. Like,
well, you got Kuminga.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to trade him. I really don't. Also, and it's not just because of the Warriors, too. Like, what do you think that his price tag is right now? Because I feel like if you...
35.
But I feel like if you polled all 30 teams, you might get 30 different answers. And I think that's part of the issue, too.
Price tag meaning what he's going to ask for or what he's going to get?
That's exactly. Yes. Like, yes, that's the problem. There seems to be a different number. So you're not just acquiring a player because he's, pardon me, young and good. Oh, boy, help me out.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. As my man Evan Giddings removes phlegm. Now back to the show.
Shout out, Dave. The thing is about Kuminga, if you're acquiring him, you have to pay him. I mean, if you're trading for him, you're going to pay him. And there's like two teams that really have the cap space to actually do that this summer. And I think he fits into like the Brooklyn Nets plan. I mean, they just got D'Angelo Russell back. They have Cam Johnson, who's relatively cheap if they decide not to trade him. They're a fast team. They're young. They're athletic. Oh, maybe he'd work there. Washington is a team that has got no real direction. Sure, you go to Washington, hang out with Jordan Poole, win 15, 20 games a year, and try and help them develop individually. But I guess I just don't think that this summer, those two teams are going to be willing to pay Kuminga $35 million per year. That's just me.
Where are you at with Draymond?
I think that he's more valuable to the Warriors than he is to other teams. Like, if Draymond could fetch you an unprotected first-round pick, I think there'd be some whispers. But I don't think Draymond is... I don't think his value is that high.
Well, if it is, and if somebody sees value in Draymond, I'm pulling that trigger. And that might be the first move. Because whatever it is that they do, if it's Kevon Looney, if it's Draymond, if it's Jonathan Kuminga, there's going to be pushback. Much like that of when they got Andrew Bogut and everybody was up in arms. That's where you're at. You cannot worry about any of that. And that's the corner you painted yourself into right now. That's what you have to take that risk. And if I thought he said something interesting on his podcast when he said that everybody thinks I want to go back to Detroit. He's like, I'm from Saginaw. It's much like me in San Francisco, right? Like, I take pride in San Francisco and people from the East Bay are like, come on, man, you're not from San Francisco. He's like, you know, Detroit can go F themselves because, you know, I wanted to represent. And I say, you know, I want to play for the Pistons because I'm part of Detroit. And they're like, well, where are you from? And he's like, Saginaw. No, get out of here with that. You're not from Detroit. You're from Saginaw, man. That ain't Detroit. And he had like a very, this is early on in his career. He's like, well, screw you, Detroit. I guess that's changed a little bit. But
well, it kind of reminds me. So orientation day, freshman year of college, I'm meeting the rest of my teammates or the baseball team, like the guys I'm going to play 4 years with, whatever. Haven't met them yet. And you go up and, hey, you know, my name's Evan. I'm from Berkeley or Oakland because no one knows where El Cerrito is, even though it's nearby. Berkeley usually what I go with. Most people know where Berkeley is. If not, I stay from Oakland. And I'm talking to a couple guys, and before I have a chance to introduce myself where I'm from, I walk up to this guy. His name's Eamon. And he goes, hey, what's up, man? My name's Eamon. I'm from the Bay Area. I'm like, oh, sweet, man. Where are you from? He's like, went to Christian Brothers High School. It's at Sacramento. You ain't from the Bay, dude. That's 100 miles north. Saginaw is 100 miles from Detroit. That is not Detroit.
It's a stretch.
It's a stretch five is what it is. So just because you're from a similar, I guess, area doesn't mean you get to... I would never claim I'm from San Francisco. I live here now, but I would never claim that. I would never claim, hey, I'm from, I'm from Vacaville. Like, oh, I grew up right near there, man. Just 45 minutes down the road with no traffic. Like, get the hell out of here, dude. So I totally understand that. Yeah, Draymond going, quote-unquote, home is not really going home.
But I think it's interesting that everybody thought that would be a good fit for him, but he's not necessarily in on it. You know, in that podcast, the best part of it, they had Tim Hardaway as their guest. So Baron Davis, Draymond Green.
He's smoking a cigar in his, his garage.
Next to his two luxury vehicles.
I think it was funny that they were asking him about the Jimmy Butler conversation. It's like, what is Tim Hardaway? Does he talk to Pat Riley on the daily? Well, like, I don't know. They're going to be able to salvage it. It's like, thanks, Tim.
He's a scout for Miami and Pat Riley, apparently.
Tim Hardaway?
Yeah.
No, Tim Hardaway's a legend. Dude, you want to talk about skill or like talent.
Apparently he was the guy in the green room saying, because he was a scout, and said, we got to get Draymond. You got to get Draymond. And apparently he was, and that's the reason why he's on the podcast.
Oh, he used to be a scout for the
Heat. Not anymore. Now he's in his garage smoking stogies.
That sounds like a decent life. His kid's on the Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Hardaway's still shooting that thing.
How does kid get so? This kid's like 6'7". Hardaway's like 5'11".
I don't know. I mean, is it?
Don't do it. Careful.
No. What I was just gonna say is there's some people that are just like Joakim Noah. What podcast was he on? I think he might have been with one of the Levitard shows. Anyways, Joakim Noah's father is a professional tennis player.
Yeah,
he ain't 7 feet tall.
Yannick.
Yeah, Yannick. But he ain't 7 feet though. Like sometimes you just hit the lottery.
Yeah, but Yannick Noah was tall for tennis, thin and athletic. Tim Hardaway's short, squatty. Looks like, you know.
But he's like 6'5". Oh, sorry, the son.
Yeah, 6'5". I mean, that's
not that much
bigger. He's thin though. And
well, but have you seen, for example, like Charles Barkley? You ever heard him talk about his siblings? They're all like 5'10".
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, he's the only one of the bunch that's a legitimate athlete. Well, they're athletic, but they're just not very tall. Sometimes you just hit bingo.
Who's that guy who plays in Major League Baseball? He's with the Pirates. Short, squatty. He looks like John Crook back in the day.
Jack Wilson?
No, he's a heavy set, just like a guy right out of the 70s, just serious gut. I think he was with
Steve.
Is it Dan Vogelbach?
Yeah, Vogelbach. Oh, he's with the Brewers now. He's with the Brewers now?
He's with the Mets. He's in the Brewers.
He's been around. He's a Mariner, I think.
Yeah, he's a fan favorite wherever he goes. Yeah. He's like, I don't know, poor man's Prince. Prince Fielder, by the way, best fat hitter I've ever seen. Like, you're not supposed to be able to hit.
Do you remember his old man, Cecil?
Well, I wasn't around when he was playing, but yeah.
Same thing.
He's better than his old man.
No, he's better than his old, but his old man was just a home run threat. It was huge.
Oh, yeah. He put up like, he had a couple 50 home run seasons.
They finished with the same amount of career home runs. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, really?
Well, it's only because Prince had to retire because of a pretty serious neck issue. But
I would say Prince was much more mobile, much more of a better athlete.
Oh, he had the greatest walk-off celebration. I'm sure Giants fans remember this. He had a walk-off grand slam against the San Francisco Giants in Milwaukee, I believe. And he's trotting around the bases, rumbling as he goes, crosses third, heads to home plate. Everyone's around, about to throw water on him. And he leaps and jumps on home plate, and everybody falls down.
Oh, nice.
And he raises his hands in the air and basks in the glory of a walk-off grand slam. And then the Giants hit him in spring training the next year.
Nice.
With Barry Zito.
Yeah, they hit that guy with an 84-mile-an-hour fastball. Congrats.
I don't like the choreographed celebration, so I give that one. That one gets a pass, but football's just, I like the spontaneous, oh, my God, I scored. Let it be real.
Well, but they all have, you know,
scripted these days in the NFL.
Yeah, they're no one's an original anymore, Dan.
Can someone make a first down and not let the entire world know about it?
What do you mean? You don't like the Kittle WWE?
Kittle was one of the first, so Kittle gets a pass.
He wasn't one of the first.
Everybody now. And can someone hit a three and not flash signs?
I'll tell you my first down celebration on the other side. We got to hit a break, though. I also do want, in this last hour, dig into some of this Bob Myers sound from earlier this week. The mindset of a GM. What is going on right now at Chase Center as they prepare for the trade deadline? Coming on the heels of an 8-8 month of January, holding pattern, stuck a bit. Looks like they're going to make a move. What's going on at Chase Center right now? We'll talk about it on the other side. Evan Giddings and Dan Devone back after this on 95.7 The Game.